Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
Your show is great, and it's such a light in the world.
Now, back to the Lisa Wexler Show on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Joining us now is Martha Zoller of WDUN in Georgia. Martha, give us a call back. I understand you just dropped out, but she's going to be with us any second. And we're talking, Martha and I, now a little bit. I got to be on her show this week, although the subject didn't come up of Roe v. Wade, but I want to address it on ours. Good morning, Martha Zoller. Hello, and welcome back to the show.
Oh, good morning. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you so much. So tell me what's going down in Georgia. What's the immediate aftermath of the overturning of Roe v. Wade in Georgia?
Well, we had passed a bill in 2019 called the Heartbeat Bill, which was a pretty big restriction on abortion that also included some provisions on personhood and some other things. But it immediately got challenged in the court, as we expected to. We were not the case that went up to the Supreme Court. We thought it possibly could be. It was the Dobbs case from Mississippi that ended up going up to the Supreme Court. So we're waiting now for the Heartbeat Bill. It looks like now it will go through the motions of going back to the state from federal court, and then will be implemented. We are not calling a special session to ban abortion. The governor is going to implement the law as it was written, and then we'll, you know, go from there on it. But, you know, really, not much is going to change in Georgia from what it was prior to Roe v. Wade.
Well, it says, I'm looking here, it will change because the 6-week abortion ban has not been enforced in Georgia, but now it will be enforced, right? That's a pretty big change.
Well, it's not 6 weeks. It's a heartbeat detection. So it's, you know, the media called it 6 weeks, but it depends upon when a woman goes in to get a sonogram and if there's a heartbeat.
All right. So if it's not 6 weeks, it's 7 weeks, it's 8 weeks. It's not the full first trimester.
No, it's not.
No,
and
it's
personally,
not.
Personally, I think that if the Congress back, you know, for the last 50 years, there have been many opportunities. If the Congress had put forth something like Dobbs that was a first trimester kind of compromise, I think they could have gotten 70% of the vote. I mean, I think, but it's just on both sides, what they have tried to do is get the most radical part of what their side wants. And by doing that, it never got codified into law.
There is a tremendous consensus in this country. Every single poll has a consensus about the third trimester and the first trimester, with a bunch of wiggle room in the second trimester that could be negotiated. I happen to agree with you, Martha.
You know what, Lisa? You and I are on different sides of this issue, but I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think just like, okay, so back in 2013 when the Congress was passing the fetal pain bill, which was the first time they had taken up any kind of pro-life legislation in something like 20 years, okay? And I had a congressman, a very conservative congressman, call me and say, I'm getting pressure from the Georgia Right to Life group about if I vote for this bill, it doesn't go far enough and they're going to come up against me. And I said to this congressman, I said, look, you and I are both pro-life, but if you don't vote for this piece of legislation that is at least a movement in our direction, then you're not being reasonable. That's what's happening on both sides. You have, you know, Planned Parenthood type groups calling up legislators that are pro-choice saying, if you don't go all the way, we're going to go after you. And it happens on the other side. We got to stop that, Lisa. I think we could find consensus on this issue that I might not love, you might not love, but it'll be something we both could live with.
Do you? I happen to agree with you, Martha. I agree with you because that's what the polls show. In other words, the polls really show when you drill down to the American people, overwhelmingly people want women to be left alone in the first trimester. They want the competing interest of the baby to be paramount in the third trimester, unless the mother's going to die, and then people don't want to interfere with that. And then in the second trimester, maybe it is a question of having to have some medical consultation or some medical something or other, that there is some kind of reasonable basis for an abortion, some kind of reasonable basis that it isn't procedure.
Well, if you look at Western Europe, okay, Western Europe and the UK, they are anywhere from 12 weeks to 18 weeks. They're basically first trimester and a little bit beyond, depending on what country you're in.
Right.
And it's not about morality. It's about money and danger. The later you are in the pregnancy, the more risks there are. That's just – and not just to the baby, but to the mother. The later you are, the more risks there are. And that's until birth comes. And then, you know, you're designed for that, right? I mean, that's what happens there. But it is so funny how some sides are having to contort this thing, because the ACLU released a list of people that will be affected if Roe v. Wade is overturned. They did it the week before Roe v. Wade was overturned. And did you know the word woman did not appear on that list?
I can't even, Martha, I can't go there. I have to tell you, I have a very, very great respect for a guest that was on my show this week. A tremendous respect for her. She's a brilliant OBGYN, really brilliant. And she kept saying people with uteruses. And I said to her at one point, please, can't we just call them women? And she said no, because she wanted to be inclusive of trans people. Now, listen, there may be a very, very small minority of people in the world that were born women, that identify as men or are transitioning into men, who still carry a uterus. But for purposes of this conversation about giving birth, they are women. They're not men, right? Or am I crazy?
Yes. You're not crazy. And it's this,
and I don't want to hurt anybody's
language.
Well, that's it. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Right. But I do think on the conversation about abortion, it really has to be about women who are so vastly the majority. It's about people who carry uteruses, yes, but to not say it's about women discounts the fact that it needs to be called women, because women are in a class. They are in a protected class of constitutional jurisprudence, where if you're going to discriminate against women on the basis of gender and discriminate against women, looking at the whole long history of discrimination against women in this country, in this world, you have to say, okay, if we're going to discriminate against women, we have to justify the law on a stronger basis. And that, by the way, was Ruth Bader Ginsburg's argument. She was like, you know what? I get the right to privacy, but I don't think that's as strong as the argument of equal protection under the law. And if you don't at least start with women, what are we talking about?
Well, and I think that that would have been a stronger argument at the time of Roe. That was not the strong argument that they made. They made the argument based on the right to privacy, not under equal protection under the law. And but anyway, I think that we're gonna get through this. This is not the end of the world. We are going to.
I think you're more optimistic than I am, Martha.
When the governor
of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, pointedly asked about his law in Arkansas that has no exceptions for rape or incest, asked if a 12-year-old who was raped or was raped by her father, God forbid, would have to carry the baby, would that be okay? And he's like, yeah, it would be.
Look, I can't discuss individual people and what their ideas are, but what I do know is the same court that overturned Roe also gave Biden a victory on the return to Mexico. And so what we have
there have been
plenty of decisions over the last 30 years that I haven't been crazy about. But I didn't throw the court out, and I didn't think. What I did was I got to work. And that's what we got to get back to. If you have a decision you don't agree with on something, then I think the message of this Supreme Court over the last couple of years is legislators, do your jobs. Okay, had the Congress codified Roe into law in the last 50 years, we wouldn't be here.
That's true.
Okay,
you're right.
You know, it's so Congress, do your job. Okay,
yeah, Congress, and hats off to the people who advocated against abortion for their very, very diligent work in state legislatures, because they had a very
pointed strategy,
and it worked. I know.
20 years ago, we took a turn where we said we're going to start electing pro-life state reps. And honestly, do state reps represent people better than a congressman? A state rep that represents 50,000 people ought to be more reflective than a congressman that represents 800,000 people.
Listen, Martha, I hear you. I just want to say this about the right to privacy, though. You know, I'm sure you know that Clarence Thomas's concurrence has gotten an awful lot of attention for what he said about how he would expand overturning other jurisprudential, other constitutional decisions and precedents that were founded on the right to privacy. I personally totally disagree with him because I believe that the right to privacy is implicit in our constitutional rights and dignities as citizens, regardless of Roe v. Wade.
You're going to be surprised. I agree with you. And I've spoken on several broadcasts about how Clarence Thomas was wrong in his concurrence. Okay. If you would read, and I know you've read Alito's decision.
Yes.
Alito gives a very good case on why what Clarence Thomas said in his concurrence is wrong. You know, he looks at it as a different class of decisions than the Roe v. Wade decision. So, you know, I agree with you. Clarence Thomas was wrong to do that concurrence on, or what he said in the concurrence. And I'm not a lawyer, but I believe he was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's getting a lot of attention. Of course, he's getting a lot of attention. Did you see this morning, we're chatting with Martha Zoller of WDUN, that he actually questioned whether or not vaccine efficacy could go forward because he said it was based on aborted fetal cells, which other scientists are saying is emphatically not true with respect to this vaccine.
Yeah, I did not see that.
But yeah. He's getting a lot. You know what it is he's speaking out. As a Supreme Court justice, he has to be very careful, and he's speaking out now. And so every word that he says is going to be parsed, and it's going to be looked at in the context of whether or not he should sit in judgment on a case.
Well, and it's interesting because he was the guy that everybody complained that he never spoke.
For 20 years,
recently.
He never spoke. I know. And now he's found his voice. I know. But, you know,
yes.
what he's saying is it's illuminating, but for a lot of people, it's upsetting, too, for a lot of people. So anyway, Martha, what are you doing for July 4th? Any exciting plans? What are you doing?
We're going to a family reunion. We're going to have $22 under one roof. And
nice.
We're going to have fun. Yeah.
Oh, that's
no political
great.
Discussion.
That's impossible. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I want to sit around your dinner table. I can't believe such a thing. Martha's
I'll be sitting at the kiddie table.
Oh, that's the best place. What are you, Oma? Are you Oma in
yes,
your group?
Oma. Yep.
I love Oma. All right. Martha Zoller, thanks for coming on. Love you. Bye, honey.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.